Radio DePaul, voted best online station in the nation in 2012 and 2013.
I dropped my phone on the tracks. I better go get it.
Stop. Stay off the tracks.
The rails of the CTA have 600 volts of electricity moving through them, which is the same amount as a full-grown South American electric eel. That danger doesn't even include the 30-ton train moving upwards of 55 miles per hour, heading towards you like a bull on a mission. The situation will feel like you got hit by both thunder and lightning. You can live without your cell phone for a few minutes, so don't risk it. Stay behind the blue platform edge and relax. This message was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's college connection.
Good morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, March 8th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing tutoring and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. the Aqua Bowl. I'm your host, Marina B., joined by my co-hosts, Katie A. and Gia Z., as well as our special guest, Chris S., today we're talking about astrology. This has been something that we've been really excited about all year. And so just to reacquaint you with who's on the show today, I'm going to have everyone go around and tell us their sun sign. Gia?
Okay. I'm so excited for this episode. And I love the awkward fashion of first name, initial. My sun sign is Cancer.
All right, so, Katie? Yeah.
I'm so excited to be back on the annual Scrawl episode of Astrology. We do this every year. And I'm still a Virgo.
Still a Virgo.
All right. And special guest, Chris S.
Hey, everybody. Happy Pisces season. I'm a Sagittarius.
Amazing. All right. So let's get into it. We are approaching this episode sort of from like a ground zero. All of us are pretty interested in astrology, but we are acknowledging that not everyone who's listening today may be like as high in their development of astrological knowledge. So we're just going to start by, I think, explaining some basics about astrology. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I would say, like, as everyone knows, there are many astrological signs depending on like the time and the day that you were born. Mm-hmm. The planets basically are aligned differently. And mm-hmm. so you can be born under a sign, and that, as a legend goes, influences sort of like your experience in the world, your personality, and like certain sort of like aspects of your character.
Yeah. And that was well said. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
I think it's important to note also, a lot of people think astrology is only sun signs, but there's, you know, what, like 13, 14 other signs that you can have, in Mars, Moon, Rising, all these other things. And the way that those have interplay together really affects your personality traits.
I think, yeah, what you might be talking about is people who think of it as like a magazine horoscope type thing, which I would say is like not all that helpful to me at all, and like probably not the right approach, because astrology can be so individualized, which I think is what makes it attractive, you know, to people like us, because you're really, I heard it described once is that you're like understanding the universe with yourself at the center of it.
Oh, yeah, which I guess so.
I think it's true.
Yeah, when I think of astrology, I just think of like how I'm supposed to like handle situations according to like what will make me feel best, mm-hmm. I guess, at like the base. Mm. And I have, I think, a little more limited knowledge. I know like my planet signs, but I don't always know what that means. But I would say like the big three that everyone, like, we can talk about are your sun signs, your moon sign, and your rising. And Marina, do you want to explain what those, or Chris, sure. our resident expert?
I don't know if I'm an expert, but
you're today's expert.
I think your sun sign is what most people would sort of think of themselves as, but that can also be dependent on your moon sign. Your moon sign is more what, when you're alone at late at night, you know, that's what you think of. That's how you act. I'm a Libra moon, so I'm gonna act one way when I'm at home alone versus when I'm with people, and that's mm-hmm. more like the sun sign. That's my interpersonal interactions, and then the way I come across to people, both physically and emotionally and everything, is generally my rising sign.
Yeah.
And people say your rising sort of falls out of importance as you grow up, because you get more well acquainted with your sun and moon.
Yeah, you like mm-hmm. consolidate your personality, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a good, I think that's a good overview. If you've been introduced to astrology, but you aren't like deep into it, probably the sign that you have been told that you quote unquote are is your sun sign.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Chris said, there's a lot of other things that influence your personality. And if you don't identify with your sun sign, I encourage you to explore the other aspects of your chart, because you may find that there are like really critical other elements, or like you have planets in certain places that can explain sort of like mm-hmm. the inconsistencies, I guess, that you feel with your sun sign.
Yeah, I think a lot of like horoscope deniers, or like people who are like anti-astrology, are like, that isn't me at all, you know, or just the comment that it's very adaptable. But it is so adaptable when we think about it, because we're all made up of basically all of the signs. And I think that people who feel disconnected, yeah, might identify more with like,
yeah,
I've never felt that way because I have a lot of Cancer in me. Everything's the same. So, but
I think it's also important to get your like astrological information from a reliable source, because there's also a lot of like really accessible, I guess, places out there to like learn about astrology that will have like really, really basic, like formulaic descriptions of the signs, and those can just be like plain inaccurate. Yeah. Like,
very reductive.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys are looking for a good resource, I'm going to make a quick plug. I really like Will Harrison. He does YouTube videos, so look him up.
I remember I first watched a Will Harrison video when I was like in high school, and I just saw like a recommended video, and it was like a complete astrological analysis of like Bernie Sanders' birth chart and why Will save this country. And I saw it was like 45 minutes, and I was like, need to watch. So that's the kind of work Will Harrison, metaphysician, does, and it's lovely. He's very detailed.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I also think if you're just starting to get into astrology, or you want to learn more in like a pretty simple way, unfortunately, we're not sponsored, but we wish. Gonna plug CoStar. It's an app. I think it's just for iPhones, unfortunately. Wait on us, Android. On us, we're CoStar. But CoStar is just an app where you enter like what time you're born, where you're born, and the day you're born. And it gives you your like full chart, and it has like little quips to explain every aspect. And you can also add your friends and see how compatible you are, which I think is a really fun bit of astrology, is looking at how you relate to other people through astrology.
I also think it's the best horoscope app that you can get. I think a lot of horoscope apps get it wrong because of how reductive they are sometimes, or mm-hmm. how simple they are, but CoStar gives you a bunch of different aspects of what your day is going to be like.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
You can see your friends' like updates too, and like what they're going through.
Oh.
Because it looks at like all their planets and
whether or not you guys are going to have a good connection that day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. Which
yeah
is really
I just discovered that aspect of it.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Wait. My life is about to change.
They also.
And I wouldn't say it's more of like people dislike horoscopes because they think it's prescriptive. It's like you read it at the beginning of the day and then you base how you're going to act. But I think it's more of an explanatory element. Like if you've been feeling bad all day, I like it's nice for me to go on CoStar and see that that's like legitimate, you know what I mean? Because I have these things going on. Yeah.
And I think that that kind of compatibility and like checking for compatibility also comes up in the work we do at the Aqua Ball as peer tutors.
100% agree. I think that the, like what y'all are bringing up about like checking compatibility with your friends and like that there are days where things work really well and things are like seamless and then there are days where you can like encounter more friction. I think that when you are like a peer tutor and you spend most of your time at work like, you know, just engaging with other people, like it's a quick thing. It's anywhere from 30 minutes to like 2 hours, but it's usually between 30 minutes and an hour where you're sitting with someone and collaborating with them on like some work that they've done. Compatibility is not always, you don't really have the option to choose, but there very much is something about like there are certain people that like you immediately, it's so easy to build rapport and like you just feel like you already have read this work a million times or something like that. And then there's other people where the two of you have to work harder to come together like over the work.
One thing I really like about CoStar also connecting to peer tutoring and all of this is when you have like something that isn't going very well for you one day or something that isn't going well with you in your compatibility with someone, it's like a frowny face and it looks like sad and you're like, oh no. But then you go to it and in the explanation it just says you might just need to like work harder.
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, the equitable is for everyone and everyone can feel welcome and like helped at the equitable, but some may just need to work with communication a little harder. And that doesn't mean it's not going to be good and it can be good. It just requires more effort. So I think communication based.
It requires more introspection, which I think is the best thing about astrology is it allows you a way to look inside yourself and see how you're interacting with other people. And that's really important, I think, as peer tutors, especially right now during Pisces season, which is right now there's a Pisces sun, there's a Pisces Mercury in retrograde, and there's a Jupiter Sagittarius, which is a lot of nervous energy. It also means that there are a lot of opportunities coming our way, and it's going to be harder sort of to discern which door to take. And I think that's important in the context of the Writing Center because there are so many ways to help somebody on their paper. And it's really about having that sort of, you need to know what's going to work better for one person versus another person. You know, one person might want a blank draft because they work better that way. But another person, it might be more helpful to get their draft and then do a reverse outline. Yeah. And it's important to recognize how that person is coming across and then alter your tutoring methods based on that.
Yeah, giving text specific feedback. Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely. Wow. We're so I love like doing the astrology episode every year and like sometimes when we're like, let's do astrology, there's moments where we're not sure if we can like connect it with the equitable, but I love just this overwhelming like energy of reflection as well as like collaboration that just kind of makes you realize like how astrology can help you in like every sense of your ways, I guess. Yeah. Marina, did you want to say more on that?
Yeah, I was going to say that insofar as like collaboration, I think that that's something that sort of like people don't consider astrology to be necessarily like a collaborative art because it's generally sort of like focused on you and yourself and like what does your chart look like and what is the day going to be like for you. But when I was defending the theme of astrology, like in the context of the equitable, I shared an anecdote at during our planning period about how the same way that we sort of like collaborate with writers on their writing and like come in and like they look to us for sort of like guidance or feedback on what they've done and we like work with them and like basically sort of part of being a peer tutor is like helping the writer help themselves.
Yeah. And we're guides.
Yeah. And I saw for my last birthday, my birthday present to myself was I went to a professional astrologer and I had him like read my chart and talk to me about it. And when I went in there, and I think that this is similar to the way that sometimes writers come into the Equable if they've never been before, mm-hmm. they come in and they think that they're sort of going to like sit down with us and give us their paper and we're just going to like write all over it and like mark it up and then give it back to them and be like, okay, like go fix these commas or whatever. But, and so similarly, when I went to the astrologer, I thought that he was going to look at my chart and be like, okay, so like you have this and this and this and like these planets are moving, so this and that is going to happen and like you probably act this and that way. But instead, he really just like entered a dialogue with me and like asked me about my interest, asked me about like what I'm doing in school, like what I'm looking forward to in my own life, like just asked me general questions about myself and then reacted to them like using my chart as evidence. And so it was really sort of like illuminating for me because I did not consider that like getting your chart read could be such a collaborative process, but mm-hmm. he like was really like using sort of just like my the experiences that I've already had in order to like explain parts of my chart to me and then also to like tell me like going forward like these shifts might affect you in this way based on like how you've already reacted in situations like this. So I thought that like collaboration in astrology and in the writing center are like much more similar than you think.
That's amazing.
That seems like really similar to honestly like an appointment we would conduct at the writing center. Like I'm sure you guys like build rapport and then kind of like set an agenda, you know, about what you want to get out of the appointment. Because I think when we do the astrology episodes, we always talk about how it relates to Equable core value of like reflection, but also kind of like revision. Like you want to use the information you're getting to like feel more at home or at ease with like your emotions the next time maybe the situation comes up again. So I think it's there are certain goals you can kind of have when you mm-hmm. would go to an appointment like that, like with an advisor.
Absolutely.
I think one of the most important lessons astrology can teach us is that we can only guide our lives. We can't control it. And I think mm-hmm. that's important in the context of the writing center is you can only do so much to scaffold a writer's. If you do the whole paper for them and you go through it line by line, you fix it the way you think it's going to sound better, they're never going to gain any experience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all about looking back at what you've done before and finding ways to alter that for the better. Mm-hmm. But you can really only set yourself up for success. You can't impose success on yourself.
Wow. Amazing. The insight.
The insight from our resident expert, Chris S. Chris, do you want to plug yourself on anything?
Social media, Chris, across most platforms.
And CoStar.
And CoStar.
Adam on CoStar.
And Slack. So if you want to hit me up on Slack, I would love it.
I think we will be linking some of the resources that we've talked about in the blog post. Mm-hmm. So if y'all are listening and you are interested in learning more about astrology, we're really going to try to provide some resources to you.
Yeah.
So you can plan your next steps.
And if you're an Equabler and a listener, join the Astrology Slack channel.
Yeah.
I think that should be more active.
It should. Absolutely. Thoughts,
yeah.
Yeah. I just peep in there like every so often. I'm like, this is extremely helpful whenever I'm feeling like moments of stress. So do we want to intro our song for this?
I guess like recap of this first half is basically like, welcome to astrology. Know that there's more out there than just your sun sign. Like the diversity across the signs is absolutely like reflected in every person, basically. Mm-hmm. And we have a very special song today. It's a song that I actually, my aunt showed me when I was like young, because she's a Virgo and I have lots of Virgos in my family. And so astrology has always been like a hot topic with all of us. And this is an old classic that is very, very relevant, I think, to just the general theme of astrology. Mm-hmm. This is Float On by The Floaters.
Aquarius. And my name is Ram. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom. And I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby,
My name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe.
And my name is Larry. And I like a woman that loves everything and everybody. And you know what, ladies? If you feel that this is you, then this is what I want you to do.
Welcome back, Skrull Nation. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection, and you're listening to Skrull Radio. Today, we have a special guest, Chris S., and we are talking about astrology. So, I think that's something that is like an interesting connection that we can make between writing and working with writing and astrology is the actual writing that goes into horoscopes.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, do we want to use CoStar as a resource for horoscopes?
Yeah, I think that like there's a lot. I mean, because you can just really look across like the genre, I guess, of horoscope writing, because you have something, I think, like on the one hand, like CoStar, which gives really sort of like poetic and like
abstract.
Yeah, it's like, it's mm-hmm. like poetic abstract, and they really support what they say with like the actual mm-hmm. evidence. Like they'll show you the way that the planet is moving and explain what mm-hmm. that means and then relate it to you. But then on the other hand, you have something like Cosmos, you know, horoscopes or whatever. Oh, you know, like there's horoscopes probably. That are like just really kind of, again, like we were talking about in the before the jump, like reductive and sort of like simplify things, or just give like super general, you know, like they'll be like, you might feel happy today, or you could be sad. And you're like, oh, that's so mean. Like,
well, the thing about CoStar is they use an algorithm, right, to make all of their horoscopes. And they do support it with the planetary movements, which I think is really cool. But also the other side of that is it's not very personalized, and you don't really get the perspective of the horoscope writer, which is sometimes nice. And like, not necessarily Cosmos horoscopes, but other, you know, astrologers online and stuff.
Well, I think it kind of speaks to equitable core belief number two. There is no universal writing process that all writers should use. I think it's like there is no universal path, you know, each Libra needs to follow for their month. And that's kind of what like those kind of Cosmo horoscopes give you. So I think even though CoStar does use an algorithm, it is much more personalized to your own placement. So I think that's great. And that's, for me, way more useful. Mm-hmm. Although Astro Poets, I think, is something that everyone in this room loves in the booth.
Absolutely.
And those are kind of generalized, you know, towards your sun sign. But they come out every Sunday night and we await them. And then, I don't know if you guys look, but under it, like, there's always like a beautiful translation of sorts. Well, they'll like take the poetry of it and like, it's just like a, it's a tiny poem. It's like a micro poem. And then there's a translation that will like tell you how you can apply this to your life and like the decisions you make that week.
Oh
and
my
It's interesting to see the differences in the translations, right? Because the poetry is much more abstract even than CoStar's horoscopes. But it's,
it always
usually
says, like, wear
beautiful.
An orange hat, eat an apple.
Definitely.
It's fun.
I've always heard of Astro Poets, and I've seen it, like, retweeted on Twitter. It's a Twitter account for our listeners if you want to.
At Astro Poets.
Yes, at Astro Poets.
They also have a column in the W magazine, which comes out every month.
I did not know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they sort of forecast the month for each sign.
Oh
so,
my God, great. Well, check
we'll,
that
link
out
too.
We'll link it. But what was I saying? Astro Poets, I always see it retweeted onto my timeline, and I've never taken the step to just follow it and live my dreams.
I'd say worth the follow.
And I'm glad that Scrawl is
Scrawl endorsed.
Helping
yeah.
me. Yeah, it's helping me take this step. I think that the Equable Core practice that we can maybe talk about with our, especially CoStar horoscopes, which we have said are like pretty in depth, is listening and reading actively. Because I know that every morning, if I have time, when I check my CoStar horoscope, I really need to like sit down and like get through it and like refer back and like reread sentences to fully understand and like take away from that kind of abstraction.
So make it like applicable.
Yeah. And so I think that help like providing that analyzation or like the tool for that analyzation also just helps me as like a writer and a reader, like making connections through writing.
Yeah.
So maybe if you want to like increase your readership, download CoStar. Just read your CoStar every day.
Yeah. I think it's a really good, like, it's a good practice, you know, like, to just engage with it, like, on a level that's deeper than, like, reading a push notification.
Absolutely.
And I think that it fosters, like, good habits generally. Like, I feel like even if you don't necessarily identify with, like, what they're telling you for a certain day or a certain week, it's never, like, do something really impulsive and dangerous. It's always like, take time and like try not to hurt someone's feelings today. Like, you may be feeling spiteful.
Yeah.
And so like, that's just always a good thing for me to read, like on the bus in the morning, like if I'm feeling off, and it'll be like, there might be friction in your relationships today, but like, be patient, like don't jump to conclusions. And it's just like so good to hear somebody say that. It's like good advice.
It's very validating.
Yeah. And so I think that that's also something that we strive to do at the Equable. Like, when I'm tutoring someone, I always want them to leave empowered. Like, that's my best. If I can accomplish an appointment by like having somebody leave and feel like good about what they did today and ready to take their next step, that's perfect.
And I think an important thing at the Writing Center is locating the meaning within a sentence or within a paper, what the author is trying to say. And you can do the same thing with CoStar. Trying to find the meaning in your life, how it relates to you, these things that might not, you know, affect you right now, but you're feeling weird. Why am I feeling weird? Maybe my CoStar has something to say about that. Let's see if I can't find a theme that relates to both my active life and, you know, the stars, quote unquote.
The stars. It's like the intention of the paper as well, and like the attentions you make in relation to your chart. I also think that it definitely relates to like when I'm working with a writer, I'm very like feelings focused because I have a lot of water in my chart. And I'm always just saying like, this is your time so I can make you feel like comfortable and confident, like going forward in your paper and like understanding what you need to do to like make progress. And like Marina was saying earlier, to facilitate like, to facilitate and guide like that writer through their own source of like communication and their own like ways of communication is definitely a very like personalized thing to do. Like I've had a lot of writers who need like a little more focus on like specific wording and flow, and like they want to like work a sentence out. And it takes a lot of like going back and like thinking about sentences and tensions. And then I have a lot of writers who are like, want to get more big picture. Like I have this chunk and does it fit better with like what I'm saying over here or what I'm saying over here? Mm-hmm. So I think that looking at horoscopes and figuring out ways that like we organize and communicate as well, definitely fits in, you know, to the Writing Center. Katie?
Well, I think, like, at its core, astrology really just kind of help you learn more about yourself, which is valuable, and something that I also have, like, applied to my work at the Writing Center, because the first time I really started getting into, like, astrology and planets and stuff was from Kate H., shout out again, our old...
Shout out, Kate H.
Scrawl co-host who worked at the Writing Center.
Made me apply for the Writing Center.
Yes, lovely story.
She has a big hand in our lives.
A famous Twitter astrologer.
Yes. Follow at Your Logo Virgo.
Yeah, check her out. Prominent member of the Astro Twitter community. Well, I have like a Virgo stellium, which is when you have like four personal planets. So I have
three.
I thought it was three. We can do some research.
There's conflicting information.
Yeah. It's like a discourse thing.
I know, it's like opening a thing.
Anyway, okay. It's Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury, so it's like kind of a trip. So I remember Kate told me something, and she like noticed this when she first did my chart, and she goes, yeah, and then I see you in the Writing Center, and you tend to give like really directive feedback, and it's because all of these elements make you like really hypercritical and like kind of harsh and too analytical, and like she literally phrased it to me as like, a direct change I should be making, mm-hmm. and like something I should be more aware of in my work. So I think things like that, and maybe like having a friend to look at your chart, can really help you like become a better worker, person,
absolutely,
writer, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Just to be more aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes back to that like element of collaboration. Like astrology can absolutely be collaborative, and like I think that there's been, I've talked about this with a lot of my friends, and I do see discourse about it like in like astrology Twitter or like in other places where people talk about astrology, but there's sort of this concept of like the evolved and unevolved signs, and so I think that that's something that you can, I think that like the general idea of it is basically that like there are obviously like good and bad qualities to every sign, or like tendencies that when you work on them can become like much more constructive and beneficial aspects, or tendencies that like when you don't try to work on them, or when you're maybe backed into a corner or something, they can end up being like negative. And so I think that that's something that's also, you know, relevant to the rest of your chart, is that like you can be a really, like if I'm a Leo sun and a Scorpio rising, my Leo sun can be like well evolved, and I can be like really generous and loyal instead of being like self-centered and like vain or whatever. But if my Scorpio rising is unevolved, like it can make me like a really spiteful person, or like detached or whatever.
And just a quick footnote in defense of astrology for anyone out there that still, that is exactly the way like archetypal psychology works. Like Carl Jung's psychology and even Freud's psychology is all about shadow characters and like evolved characters and personalities. So just know that it's not that far from real science, you know. So.
Yeah, I think I always hear about astrology in the sense of like pseudoscience and whatnot. Do you want to talk about that at all? Pseudoscience of astrology.
I think just because so much of the canon like is on Twitter and is like on blogs and such, it speaks to a certain like credibility, which yes, should be recognized, but when it is such a personal practice and it is such an introspective, reflective thing, I don't necessarily know how like facts-based and rooted it needs to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, astrology is maybe one of the oldest fields of study in the world. It's probably over 3,000 years old, and pretty much every ancient civilization came up with their own version of astrology.
I was going to say, like, astrology predates most, like, major religions and whatnot, and I think that there's, like, controversial territory that we can tiptoe into, and I'm going to try to sidestep it as best I can. But, like, I find for me in my life, and I think that this is sort of, like, the point of all, like, religion and, like, sort of like more like metaphysical things that people do and like believe, but like for me, like I find that the most spiritual thing that I've been able to like grasp onto in my entire life has been astrology. Like I think that like when I feel very centered and like am in a space where I am like doing a lot of thinking about like astrology and like a lot of self-reflection and analyzation through like maybe certain planetary transits or whatever, like that's when I feel like the most attuned to a power that is greater than myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I think that personalization aspect of it is also very grounding in the fact where, you know, it's like, although very like connected, like in a sense of like we're all made up of the same things, it's very specialized and individualized. And I think that also relates to an Akavor core value that we have, where there's no universal writing process that all writers should use. Astrology is like a very specific, I guess, guidance, depending on like how deep you get into it. Because I think in a lot of circles, like we've talked about, it seems not specific. But there in general is no like perfect plan or horoscope, like when you're writing especially, there's no like perfect way to line things out, but like learning about yourself and like how you might react to things and learning about how like the way you process your ideas and how you think can just be like a tool to use to guide you through life and your essays.
I think at the end of the day, like, it is up to you to plan next steps, you know, as we do at the Writing Center. And it reminds me of like how we give writers autonomy to kind of at the end kind of finally choose where they want to take their work. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we can approach like reading a horoscope or something for ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's important as a tutor to present to writers all the different ways they can go about writing an essay, or like different genre mechanisms that they can, you can write this way, you can use this phrase, and that's sort of, you know, like tapping into the energy of writing, right? The different energies, the multi, like astrology is one person has certain planets that were, you know, placed here, and you're tapping into that energy, which everyone feels, but you might be tapping into it more than another person or something.
Definitely. Well, and especially when we're working with like other writers, and like I know how I like process my ideas, but and like we were talking about this earlier, if you might have like a disconnect and like I have to like figure out how another person, I wish it would be like appropriate in meetings so I can be like, can I ask you what time you were born? Just do like a quick chart so I can like figure out how we should like handle this.
I feel like if you have a recurring appointment, it's appropriate to ask.
Oh, you know what? I do have one that I think where we like meet every Sunday for a conversation partner, and I think this is what we'll do. I'm excited. Chloe, get ready. But I think that when you build that kind of like rapport with people and you find that kind of like common ground, once you like know about yourself, and maybe if you like sense something or intuit, especially if you have water in your sign because you're very intuitive like me, you can like intuit the ways that like other people interact. And so like finding those similarities between the two of you and focusing on that within appointments and just within your general relationships with people and the world, it definitely, it's more helpful to like understand that more and be able to like go in a certain path.
I find that helpful too. Do you ever like really, like, something bothers you about, like, a way, like, a friend communicates or something, and, like, you'll check CoStar and, like, look at, like, your Mercury compatibility bit, yeah. and be like, that makes so much sense. And I think mm-hmm. that helps you to be more, like, forgiving and understanding of, like, your friends and the people in your life, because you can kind of treat it as, like, oh, they're kind of wired that way. Like, they kind of have a tendency to act that way. So I should, you know, be aware of that and try to work with it rather than, like, resenting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. This is such a brilliant topic for us. I really love this. Well, it's time for our second song break, and this is sort of like a classic astrology song from everyone's favorite musical. Not really. It's not mine, and I don't know if it's anyone in this booth, but...
I like it. This is chosen by our lovely and talented co-host, Emily G. She's sitting out today, but...
She's an Aries.
Yeah, she's an Aries, but we love her, and she loves Broadway, and she suggested this song, and I also love it. So here's Aquarius from Hair.
Welcome back. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection, and you're listening to Scrawl Radio's special episode on astrology. So usually this is the part of the show where we talk about what we're reading, mm-hmm. But we decided that what we're reading this week is just going to be Coaster. Each other. And it's going to be about astrology and just like generally how we're all doing astrologically, and then special guest Chris S. is going to tell us how we can survive this Pisces Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. I want to start.
Anybody? I feel like I will just throw it out there that I have been floundering. My co-star has been just like, if you aren't familiar with co-star, it basically divides aspects of your life into like good things, things that are sort of under pressure, and then like
trouble.
Things that are in trouble for you. And everything for me has been either under pressure or in trouble.
Yikes.
Yeah, me too.
I rarely have that little power. It's a little emoji that you
It's a little
like a sprout.
Leaf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, yay.
I haven't seen that a lot lately. So
no.
I'll tell you.
I had one like 2 days ago and I was in self and I had therapy and it was great. And then it like immediately went away. But Marina, do you want to tell us what your like big three are?
Yeah, like in terms of my child.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So oh, I'm yes. A, I'm or anything a, else like special about your chart that you love.
Yeah, I will tell you like the things about my chart that I feel like I identify the most with that I can think of off top. Mm-hmm. So number one, I'm a Leo sun, Scorpio rising, Libra moon, which I think works great for me. I feel like I love my Libra moon because I think that it helps me come to like much more diplomatic like I feel like I encounter like disagreements or like when there's trouble in my life like between friends or whatever, I feel like I can handle it in a much more balanced way. And I think that like given my Leo sun and Scorpio rising, which are two pretty intense signs, it's like good for me to have that balance.
Wow, I love that. And how do you think Pisces season is affecting any of that?
Pisces season is like whooping me, guys. It's like not so good.
Yeah.
I think that it makes sense because I have like so little water in my chart, like really so little water in my chart. And all of my, all the signs in my big three are like air and fire.
Yeah.
And so when like in the midst of water seasons, I just like usually find myself like struggling.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for signs that aren't water signs or earth signs, I think, to deal with emotions that they don't usually encounter. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Pisces has gone great for me. kind of. It's been a lot of personal growth and like taking big steps and stuff, but there have been like obstacles because Pisces season. I am a Cancer sun, Cancer moon, Scorpio rising. I'm also Cancer Mercury. however, my Mars is in Libra, which I am very thankful for because I think when I like encounter obstacles and I like or like aggressors or something, I handle things like very analytically and like pretty, I don't know. I like to think I'm like pretty in tune with what I'm feeling most of the time.
And do you think that's been helpful during Pisces season?
Absolutely. It's been I do a lot of self-reflection and reflection on my emotions.
And that's what Libras do is
yeah.
You'll find specifically like our Libra moons. I find myself sitting at home just like running
thinking.
Through all the things I did that day.
Yeah.
Like, was that embarrassing? No, that wasn't that embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know,
But that coupled with like literally all of my water is just like, how am I feeling about this?
Yeah.
In the past few weeks, there have been a lot of things to feel about, but Pisces season is kind of like making me like assess those things and like helping me understand, I think, how I handle like situations a little more. It feels empowering.
I think that's definitely what Pisces season is all about, is assessing and looking inside, and specifically with the Pisces Mercury retrograde right now. Mercury retrograde pretty much always asks us to slow down, to reassess things, but especially Pisces season, which has got this nervous energy quality to it. It's going to be presenting a lot of opportunities for you, in different ways, but it's all about assessing which ones would be most helpful for you, because you have to choose something.
This is like too like
no
this
no
is like too much applicable to my
trust
life.
Trust me,
like,
I have
it's
a lot.
Hard to hear.
I have a lot going on right now, and this is incredibly helpful. So thank you, Chris.
It's about an intentional slowing down. The Pisces Mercury retrograde. You have to be looking being self-reflective in an intentional way, something that is going to help you in the long run or right now, you know, make yourself comfortable.
Absolutely. Katie, How are you doing?
I'm good. So I'm a Virgo, Sun and Moon, Sagittarius rising. Also, aspect I has been a challenge but also fun is Mars and Leo. So it's all Earth and Ooh. Fire, which has made Pisces season. Okay, so Virgo, which I'm very much a Virgo, is the sister sign of Pisces. So kind of your sister sign is the exact same energy manifested in completely different ways. So with Virgo, they're really focused on like self-improvement, which can lead to like bad perfectionism. And then with Pisces, it's more like daydreaming, which can lead to like self-delusion. So this Pisces season, I've been kind of just like unmotivated and like daydreamy and like too lackadaisical, I would say, which has been annoying because it's maybe not my usual way. But what I will say is I think we've all noticed that 2018 has been like kind of a drag.
2019.
So Zoe Knight, former Skrull co-host and Aquablur, was over the other day and they taught me how to do like tarot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking on Skrull last season, we always talked about how it was the year of the High Priestess and we were like celebrating that. And great, like last year was great. And then I was thinking, I don't know what the card is for this year. So I looked it up and it's the Hanged Man.
Great.
So I think that can really give us some perspective.
Literally.
At its core, the energy of the Hangman is represented by surrender, pause, and like seeking new perspective. So I do think we need to keep in mind this is like a very transformative year. And we need to like take a deep breath.
It is a super transformative year, especially with Jupiter in Sagittarius right now, yeah, which is the planet yes. that rules. First of all, Jupiter rules Sagittarius. I think it also rules Pisces, which mm-hmm, are the yeah. two signs with a ton of, as I said, nervous energy, but also it fosters abundance, which is why you're going to have a lot of these opportunities. But Jupiter is also about core values and assessing those.
Understanding that.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, do you want to go through what's going on with you?
Actually had a pretty great Pisces season, which is strange. Yeah. For a long time, I had power just in everything. Mm-hmm. I'm recently. Mostly what I'm having pressure with is work, which is really difficult. And I think that makes sense in terms of Pisces season. It's making me a little more lackadaisical, mm-hmm. as you said. I'm daydreaming a lot more. As I said, I have no water in my chart, in my big, 12. I'm a Sagittarius Sun, Libra Moon, and Gemini Rising. So that's I have a lot of fire. A lot of air, but I also have a lot of earth. I have three Capricorn placements in Mars, Venus, and Neptune, and I don't know exactly how Pisces season affects Capricorn, but I would assume that I've been dealing with my emotions in a pretty straightforward way. What do I need right now? I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? It's been good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad that we were able to like check in, you know, during this Pisces season because we know it can get rough for some people.
I just read my co-star and it was just like,
reading
it, I feel like it's like getting like cold water dumped on me. Like it's refreshing, but I'm also always kind of like in shock and it doesn't feel great.
And it's so hard that it's final season right now, right?
The only thing I keep on having power in is thinking and creativity, which is like not good for finals and what I need to be doing right now. Yeah. But it is good for Pisces season.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In general, I would say yes.
And really be working on, you know, if you have creative projects that you've been interested in, really try to do those. You're going to be in tune with your emotions, but your emotional creativity, I think.
Oh, that's important. Wow, that's good because I have been trying to like read and write more and do that. Bang.
Absolutely. Well, April coming up is Natural Poetry Month, so if you guys want to get an early start, start writing some poems.
Absolutely. Well, it's been such a great show. Yeah. We love the yearly astrology show.
This is literally catharsis.
This is my last one, which is like really upsetting.
Oh,
really? But you can always come back.
I'll come back as like an older person, like on the scroll and just being like,
hi.
We have a geriatric guest today. It's Gia.
Yeah, post-grad me.
Oh my gosh.
that's definitely like an accurate.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh my
it's
God.
Been,
Thank
I loved
you for
it.
Coming
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. Yeah. We love having you. Friend of the show.
Absolutely.
You All provided right. us with a lot of expertise, I would say. Some insights.
Oh, I love to do this. All right. Well, everybody, look out for the blog post because there will be a lot of resources that we discussed here today linked there. But other than that,
Have a happy Pisces season. This is Skrull Radio signing off.